you're listening pretty late. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late. And man, it is a cold, rainy night in Chicago. It's rainy. It's snowy. It looks like right now because the streets on Michigan Avenue, it's all slushy and wet and nasty. But there are people out on Michigan Avenue. There are families still out and about taking in our beautiful city, even if it is incredibly cold. Please be safe wherever you are. We do hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. If you're on the roads, you know, slow down a little bit. There's nowhere you have to be that is that important to put yourself in danger. So take it easy out there. And if you're at home under the blankets, I hope that you're tucked in and hanging out with us tonight. In just a few moments, we're going to check in with Steve and Johnny, who are the legendary Steve and Johnny. If I have to tell you who they are, I don't know what to tell you, except that they have this show. I still feel like this show is on loan to me from Steve and Johnny. Every time they come in, I'm like, you can have this back. You deserve it, because they kept me company for years. And I know they kept a lot of you company through the night. And they'll be joining us to talk about their New Year's Eve show they're doing on Sunday. They're going to be on the air, and I'll be calling in after one. I've got a live show that I'm doing. I'm doing two shows, actually, in Jefferson Park, Portage Park area. I guess it's more Portage Park, considering it is right across the street from the Portage Park Theater, the old one. People have been messaging me, and actually someone on the WGN Facebook page left a note asking if the Filament Theater is the new name of the Portage Park Theater. It's not. It's right across the street from the Portage Park Theater on Milwaukee Avenue, right near the Irving Park intersection there, that big Six Corners area with Cicero, Pulaski, Irving Park, and Milwaukee. And the Filament Theater is a great spot. It's a cozy venue. There's only going to be about 80 seats per show. The first show that I'm doing is a family-friendly event, and I have to tell you, I stopped at the American Science Surplus store. I bought a bunch of prizes for the kids. Hopefully, we have enough for all the kids, at least for some of the games that we're playing. We're going to play some games. One is going to be is called Chucking Candy into Cans, which is kind of our version of the Bozo Buckets. And thank you to David Plyer, who is lending me his replica set of Bozo Buckets. So it's on the plane. All the cans are painted the buckets. For us, it's cans. It's obviously originally the Bozo Buckets, but they're all the exact same as the original Bozo Buckets. David said that the folks that do the the retrospective on Bozo Circus have approved, and that's Dean Richards and the producers of that show with George. So we are going to be using those for our Chucking Candy into Cans. That's one of the games we'll play with the kids, and we'll also be playing a version of Make Me Laugh. Comedian Paul Farvar and I, and possibly Representative Robert Martwick, will be trying to get kids to laugh with really bad jokes. I've been practicing them out on my family. They would like me to stop. I hope it goes better for our audience. Then Paul and I will be doing some stand-up comedy, some great music from Rob and the Representatives. We have a toast at 9 p.m. so the kids can ring in the new year. We'll do a countdown. We're ringing in the new year with Argentina. That's the time they celebrate. And then at 10 o'clock, we are going to have the adult giggle show. And it's not that it's dirty. I want to emphasize, it's not like something that we, almost everything that we talk about on the air, you know, is the kind of stuff that it's that level of clean, including a version of What's in the Box, which is a game we used to play on this show, where we read reviews from Amazon.com, and you have to, the contestants have to determine whether or not the review is for an appliance or an adult toy. See, it's not, but it's not dirty. It sounds dirty the way I'm saying it, but it's not dirty. It's naughty, which is a difference. So we're doing that show at 10 p.m. plus a full comedy sets from comedian Paul Farvar and me. And we also have music again by Rob and the Representatives. It's going to be a blast. So go to eventbrite.com for your tickets. You can search for Filament Theater New Year's Eve show. And there are two separate places to land for the family-friendly show, which is at 7:30. Those tickets are $22 per person for adults. Children 12 and under are free. The second show is longer, also comes with a champagne toast, so those tickets are differently priced. Again, go to eventbrite.com for more information. And then after my show's over, I'm calling into Steve and Johnny's show because they've got great stuff going on here. Jessica is producing tonight. I feel like I'm stealing you from Abu Bala. Does he know? Are you doing his show too after this? Oh, hold on a second. Let me roll you back up. I rolled you down earlier. Hold on. What's this one? Are you doing his show afterwards?
I am.
Oh, you're doing it. You're pulling a double?
Yes.
Everyone's doing that this week. Carm did two shows. Esmeralda was here until 10 a.m., I think. She worked all the way from 10 last night to 10 a.m. this morning. Was surprised by the fact that the CLTV cameras were on her. So what do you do to settle in for a double shift?
I have some coffee. I was here last night with Carmen, too. So.
Oh, were you?
Mm-hmm.
So you were here at 7 o'clock last night for Carm's show.
Mm-hmm.
He had a short show. He's been filling in a lot, too. And then Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth have been filling in. Brian Noonan having great shows all week. It's been fun.
I like it. It's interesting working through the weekends, through the week instead of the weekends. It's nice to actually see people around here. So
yeah, I know the feeling after being here for 4 years in the middle of the night. And you guys are here even later. So there is a big drop off. And that's like by three people. And there's nobody left. But it is nice. And Roger Badish upstairs scrubbing down. What are you scrubbing down, sir? You're like, is there something wrong with Dan? Who's
no. Hold on, I got to put my ears on here.
Okay. Is it because a lot of viruses going around? People have been sick.
No, it is a ritual that I do, and I think I'm not the only one. I take the. What do they call these? The
like Clorox wipes. You've got
the disinfecting wipes.
Okay.
And I wipe everything down. I think I've gotten more this ever since I got sick.
I can see that. Maybe some of us down here. Have any of the news folks gotten sick in the last couple weeks?
Oh, yeah. In fact, yesterday I was here and I went to shake hands with Steve Bertrand as I was leaving. He was coming in and says, can't shake hands. I'm sick.
Oh, boy.
And so, yeah, it just like down there, it goes around up here.
Sure.
But, and like I said, I don't think I'm the only one who does this.
I'm going to go get some Clorox spray and maybe do that to the board right now.
I've got three of, seriously, I buy these. I have three of these.
Uh-huh.
Can you see them?
Antibacterial wipes, sure.
Yeah, I have three of these in my drawer if you would like one.
I need something much faster than that, though. I don't have time to wipe everything down to the extent that...
you don't have the time like I... It has to be. We need? It's like those whitening strips for your teeth.
Yes.
To lay it down on the board and just rip it right off.
I agree. It's like waxing a board. Here, let me take a break. And then Steve and Johnny, when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late, and I'm so excited. I know that it's been a while, and I miss you guys so much. Do we have both Steve and Johnny on the phone?
That would be true.
Yay!
Hey, Patty.
I'm sorry. I feel like if I was in my car, this would make me just be so tickled. I'm on the phone and I'm tickled. Hi, you guys. How are you doing?
Oh, hi there.
We miss you.
I miss you too. And I've loved watching and following your adventures with the baby that you guys have. Now, did you go out to California?
No, we did not. We're going to go out after the first of the year for the baby's second birthday.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, so wonderful. What do you guys have planned for New Year's Eve?
Well,
we're going to be sitting where you're sitting.
Hello.
For what, the 24th time, 23rd time?
This will be 23 years ago. We did the first Life After Dark cheap date New Year's Eve extravaganza from the Showcase Studio. And this year it's going to be, as you know, a little bit historic because this will be the last New Year's Eve broadcast from the Showcase Studio.
I know. It's such a great view, too. But next year, it's going to be a cool view from the 18th floor of the next place.
Oh, yeah.
But I love the idea. You're right. I hadn't even thought of that. It's the last one. And it's on a Sunday night, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's true, because our week started on a Sunday for all those years.
Oh, did it really?
Oh, yeah. We always, from day one, we said, if we're going to do this shift, we're going to start on a Sunday and wrap up on a Friday morning so we can be on the road when everybody else is going to work on a Friday. We could already be where we want to be for the weekend.
No kidding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so Sunday night, are you starting at 11? Are you doing the 11 o'clock to 2 a.m.?
No, we're starting whenever the Blackhawks get done. And rumor has it, it's probably going to be, hopefully, a little bit before midnight, so we'll be able to do a Chicago countdown.
Right.
And then we're going to stick around till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and then we've got musical guests, and just we're going to have a showcase full of people, which is always fun.
Ronnie Rice will be in the studio with us, Lisa McClowry, The Empty Pockets.
Oh, cool.
And we're also going to have Sidney Friedman, who I think you know, the musical mentalist.
Yes.
Yeah, he's coming over from his show at Davenport's. And
we're also going to be doing countdowns from different time zones. For example, at 1 o'clock, we're going to be talking with a guy, his name is Matt Prasard, and he is the man behind the Prescott, Arizona Midnight
boot drop
that draws hundreds of thousands of people.
And they drop literally thousands of boots on the people.
Where do they drop the boots from? Is it like from a bridge? What are they dropping boots from?
I guess they take them up in a big crane, and people just stand there and wait to be showered with boots.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that'll be midnight their time, and then 2 o'clock we'll go out to California. And we might be able to work in a visit with down to our place in Florida, where they're going to be dropping thousands of beach balls.
I didn't even think of what people drop in other places.
Yeah. Oh, there's a place in Georgia where they drop possum.
No.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I don't even want to know. They're not live, and PETA's okay with it, so I'm not sure if they're stuffed possums or what.
I hope so.
But it just sounds wrong.
It does. It does. Although it sounds like, you said Georgia?
Yeah.
It does sound like Georgia. I don't mean that in any sort of derogatory way. But
no, of course not.
I mean, if you say you're dropping possums, I'm like, that's got to be Georgia.
That's a metaphor.
It's code for something.
And here's the thing. I mean, possums aren't the most agile creatures.
They're ugly. They're ugly as sin.
I don't want anyone who loves possums to be offended. I mean, you know.
You just offended the possum lobby.
I'm saying. I mean, because raccoons are kind of cute. They have the little mask and the little hands, you know.
Even skunks are cute.
I mean, it's those long snouts on the possum, you know.
Yeah, and it's the hanging with their babies is weird, too.
Okay, I could see people dropping them. I could kind of, as long as, oh, I mean, I don't encourage it. I'm saying if it's a stuffed animal in lieu of. Yeah, because I don't see a possum landing on its
paws.
Wait
a minute. Don't knock the possum.
I'm not dropping a possum. It's Georgia that does this.
We got a hand puppet possum for our daughter when she was growing up.
I'm sorry, Roger. You got a what?
A hand puppet possum.
Oh,
I don't know where we got it.
Of course. That's all right.
Where you put your hand in and you can actually move the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she loved it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
it has mysteriously disappeared over the years.
Did someone take it to drop it somewhere?
I think so.
Well, one of Steve's favorite Christmas presents was to add to his 40-plus puppet collection. He got a water buffalo.
It is the coolest puppet.
Wait, hold on a second. Steve, now you have a puppet collection?
Oh, huge. Yeah, over 40.
Okay, now I know you've invited me over with Griffin to look at your guitar collection. Had you said you were throwing in a collection of puppets on top of that, I think we could have lured him much sooner. I think you'll be receiving a visit from Griffin collects puppets as well.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding. No.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. He loves puppets. I would say we're up to about over 20. Really.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Actually, Patty, I will share with you a little secret. People have asked, what is the secret to our long marriage?
I don't know.
How can you stay mad at a guy with a puppet?
Seriously, if I'm saying, I turn around and this little white rabbit.
And he's talking in his white rabbit voice.
You go, oh, all right, you're so cute. Get over here. Oh, I hate you. Oh, you're so cute.
That's the secret to a long marriage.
Bring out the puppets if things aren't going your way.
Again, code, bring out the puppet.
Yeah.
Wow. See, I miss you guys. I can't just take the show back over, will you? I feel like I've deprived people of you. I know you're happy and doing other things and traveling and sharing your spectacular home and photos. And I love that you're going to be doing your New Year's Eve event again. And as everybody should know, they'll be starting after the Blackhawks game whenever that ends. And they'll be going to 3 a.m. doing countdowns around the country. I do think we need to check. We have to find someone who can tell us about the possum drop in Georgia. There has to be someone that can check in with you.
I might not be able to do that with a straight face.
And now we'll be talking to someone from the possum drop.
Yeah.
And you're right. It does sound like a metaphor, Steve.
And then when Bubba gets on the phone and I just go...
I mean, they have to have a pretty good, you know, they have to have pretty thick skin about that. I would imagine.
I hope so.
We can't be the only ones laughing about it.
But wouldn't that be a great group name, the Droppin' Possums?
It would be classical country.
Exactly. Droppin' Possums. Man. All right. So there's the boot drop. There's the possum drop. The balloon, the beach ball drop.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
They drop cheese in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Wait, isn't that every day?
I have so many bad jokes in my head.
I know.
It's painful. I don't want to say anything inappropriate. Wisconsin's much closer than Georgia.
That's right.
They're right there.
Speaking of jokes, you're going to stop by. You're going to join us too after your show.
Yes, I am. I'm very excited about that.
Good.
I don't know if you. This is my first time ever producing a live show, you guys. And I was talking to somebody from another venue that they've been doing New Year's Eve for years. And I said, I think I'm about to break even with what I've spent. And here's the thing: because it's my first one, and I want to make this an annual show, I'm so excited about it. Because we're going to have kids at my event, and I bought a bunch of stuff from the American Science Surplus Store over there on Milwaukee and Foster, and I've got stuff. I've got my pillows for the adults.
Oh, cool.
I know. Wow. People always ask about my pillows, so I asked our marketing folks. I'm like, "Hey Sarah, could I have some my pillows?" And she said, "Yeah, they can't have your my pillow, but they can have their own my pillows." And that's what I'm doing. So there you go. So yeah, and then I'll call in for you guys. And again, they're going to be on after the Blackhawks. It is Steve and Johnny's Cheap Date Life After Dark New Year's Eve Extravaganza. See, I just found the Facebook page, which everyone should find.
Thank you.
Of course. And okay, so you're checking in. Are you going to have live musicians in the studio? I know you've done that.
Ronnie Rice and Lisa McClowery.
For people who don't know Ronnie Rice, he's like the human jukebox. He was very, very big throughout the 60s and 70s with the New Colony 6, number one hit records. And Lisa McClowery is going to be coming from her Rock in the 80s show at Harrah's Casino.
And she just finished up a couple months in Las Vegas. And after she does our show, literally a day or so after, she is getting on a big bird and flying down to do her show in Australia.
Whoa.
In
Patty,
several weeks.
You have to have her on the show.
Of course.
She does Cher. And literally was performing as Cher down the street from Cher in Vegas. And Cher's guitarist came back and said, Cher said, holy smokes, because she's got the outfit. She makes all of her own outfits, and they're spectacular. But when the woman opens her mouth, you go, wow. So good. Yeah. And local girl, local talent.
Of course. And then, of course, you know the Empty Pockets.
I do.
Josh and Erica, they're going to come from their show, which wraps at 12:30. Get in the car and hightail it over to be with us, too.
And may I say, you will have more graduates of Evanston Township High School in that studio on Sunday night with me and Ronnie Rice than you've ever had before.
Wow.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Go Wild Kits.
Yeah, baby.
I think you're supposed to say meow.
Well,
what does a possum do?
Anything he wants.
I always think of them as being girls because I always think of them as hanging with their babies, but obviously there has to be.
There's got to be a papa somewhere. He's hanging with the guys.
And you know what? Probably the way this world is so screwed up, they're probably cute.
Sure.
Kind of like birds. You know, the birds, the pretty ones are the boys.
Yeah,
the peacocks.
Isn't it weird? It's like the cardinals are the bright red ones, and the gray and sad ones are the female birds.
It is.
What kind of puppet you got there, Steve?
Oh boy, I don't think I like the way you said that, Roger. There's again so many more bad jokes in my mind.
You know what? I'm editing myself as I say this. My favorite puppet that Steve got. Griffin would absolutely love, assuming he likes lizards. It is you put your arm, your entire arm in it.
Okay.
So now you're walking around holding this like
snake?
Yeah, no, it's a lizard.
Honking lizard. It is about, from the tip of your fingers up to your elbow.
And it's scaly, and it looks mean, and then all of a sudden you can stand it up on its hind legs and make it dance.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa.
Is it one of those, like, Komodo dragon lizards? Is it, like, one of those?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Oh, look at me pulling something out of my mind that I did not know where I found that. I was going to say something else, but I'll try to keep it clean for everybody.
Remember, Sunday night, kids in the audience.
Oh, yeah, no. You know, I was telling everybody last night that one of the parents that has a classmate at Griffin's, one of the Griffin's classmates' parents, emailed my husband, not me, emailed my husband and said, "Are you sure Patty can make a clean show for the kids?" I'm like, come on. I'm on the air 15 hours a week.
Yeah.
Good grief.
I know. I'm so excited. We're going to have games and stuff. But here's the thing. I wanted to mention, you guys were talking about the musicians you're going to have in studio. I don't know if I've ever thoroughly thanked you for introducing me to Sarah Morris and Vicki Emerson, who are incredible.
Aren't they extraordinary? extraordinary.
Oh my God, they're so good. So I just want to I wanted to thank you for that. I think that every time I see you, I forget, and I'm like, oh, I have to remind myself to thank you.
Yeah.
I tell you, honestly, that is one of the things we do miss, is being able to expose people to new talent.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I love what you do with you with your Music Mondays.
Well, we moved it to Music Fridays. We do acoustic on, because, you know, Bob Ferguson was having to juggle all the musicians on Justin's show, a lot of loading in and loading out. And we want to make sure the musicians that do Justin's show have their time. And it was starting to be a little bit of a hectic situation. So they're on Fridays. Here's the thing. We don't talk about politics until Friday. So having some live music breaks that up. See?
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can get too angry. You're like, oh, you're mad at me? Here's some lovely music.
Yeah. Smart move.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Again, so Steve and Johnny, again, after the Blackhawks game, there's going to be a late puck drop on Sunday night. So their New Year's Eve extravaganza. Hold on. Tell me again, the cheap date after dark?
No. Cheap date. It's Steve and Johnny's Life After Dark.
There it is.
Cheap date, New Year's Eve extravaganza. No cover charge.
Yes.
And no dress code. So come naked if you want.
Woohoo! And drop a possum.
We got to get the bumper sticker. Drop the possum.
Drop the possum. You guys are wonderful. I want to thank you so much for joining me. And I will talk to you on Sunday night.
All okay. Right. Sounds good.
I can hang out with you all night. And come in studio again anytime you want. This door is always open for you.
Sure.
I know that it's, you know, far, you know, you're busy or you're not sure. My door's always, always, always open for you guys.
Thank you.
Please.
Thanks so much. We'll do that after the first of the year.
Sounds good. And I'm going to come over and see your puppets. And I don't mean
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. Take care. Happy New Year.
By the way, I had to talk to Steve anyway because my husband bought a bass. And maybe we probably should talk to you about it. But Steve finally pulled the trigger on a bass. So
cool.
We're going to bring all the music over is what we're going to do.
Good. I'll supply the food.
Oh, I love it. All right.
And I will share with him the new bass that I got for Christmas that Johnny got me, which is a bass the size of a ukulele that actually sounds like a big honking stand-up bass.
It's amazing. It's like the mat. We make everybody close your eyes now, and Steve's going to play for you. What do you hear? And then they go, you got a big old bass. And they open their eyes, and everybody starts giggling. It's funny looking. It's little.
Oh, my God. I got to see that. Oh, I love it. Oh, thank you so much, you guys. Right. Have fun on your New Year's Eve show, and I'll talk to you.
Too.
Oh, thank you. Have a great night. Get some rest, will you? You got a lot to do. You got a lot of stuff to prep. You're going to have naked listeners, so get ready. But Steve and Johnny, thank you so much. It is time now for our news here with everything you need to. But Steve and Johnny, how cool is that, Roger?
Very cool. You know I love them so much.
Oh, my God, me too.
I have a very special attachment to them because I kept them awake on that horrible night when I was on Lakeshore Drive.
Steve and Johnny, are you still there? Is that your memory of it? You kept.
Oh my gosh!
Never forget that.
It was
that.
One of the two times I cried on the radio when Roger finally got to the hospital, and I wept like a baby. I'm like, he's safe. Oh my god!
That was.
We literally thought he was going to die out there.
Wow, that is scary.
When the car stopped, when the engine died out, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. So.
And Roger, you remember we had a young man to call in and ask if he could say goodbye to his parents.
Yes.
And he was not kidding. He was.
Yeah.
I was just
the reporter, but there were tons of people behind me because I was at the front part of all those delays, and there were so many personal stories that night.
It was
scary. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, this is just strange.
But we're
going to
have
history.
A happy, wonderful time Sunday night, Monday morning, and it's going to be great.
And I hear there's going to be pizza.
Yes, which I will be in charge of. I'm in fact, I'm going to hide them, and we'll play a game of where's the pizza?
I don't know if I like the way this is going. Naked listeners, dropping possums, and where's the pizza?
Sounds like a good time to me.
I think so, too. That's all on Sunday night after the Blackhawks game ends. Steve and Johnny will be on the air with their incredible New Year's Eve show. I've lost the title again. I have the Facebook page up, and I have too many gadgets in front of me. It's going to be amazing. Go to their Facebook page. You remember the title because you're going to want to be here after the Blackhawks game. Good night, you guys. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, you guys. Here with your news is Roger Badish.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts.
You're listening. listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Need some upbeat music on a cold, snowy night like this in Chicago. Again, we hope you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. And if you have to get out of the car because you've arrived at your destination and you're like, oh, I want to hear what happens next, you can find everything we ever say on iTunes. You can go to WGNRadio.com, where all of our podcasts are loaded as well. Joining me in studio right now to talk a little bit about the big stories of the year, because we only talk about the national stories and or even local stories when it comes to the stuff that's in the news on Friday nights, really. If something happens during the week, we're like, okay, we'll talk about, you know, the election in Alabama. That was worthy.
Nothing ever happens during the week, Patty.
Everything is saved
for Friday night.
It's too much that happens all week long. Yes. If I did it every day, I would be, I don't know, Ro Khan has to take all these days off because he covers this constantly. I don't know how he does it. Well, and Steve Cochran does it every day.
Right. Well, and our friend Ken here just said that, you know, the president didn't tweet. You know, he took a week off.
The president didn't tweet because Ken didn't have anything on digitally. Yes.
Exactly. I totally unplugged, and I highly recommend people do that. This has been one of the probably the best week I've had all year.
Really?
Because I unplugged. I mean, I'm aware of what's been going on. I saw the headlines in the news, but I didn't watch CNN. I didn't watch MSNBC.
There must be an app that filters out the stuff you don't want to see.
Yes,
right?
I believe they're called blindfolds and earplugs.
No, but I mean, like, maybe there should be an app, Eric, don't you think? That,
there's got to be.
There's got to be an app that says no Trump stories. If the article contains a Trump, you know, anything that mentions Trump, it's just not in your on your phone.
I'm sure there is. I mean,
Trump
Ken,
blocker.
Ken just seems so much calmer.
I'll be honest with you, I feel great.
All right,
I feel great. I will say this also. You know, I did read the interview that Trump gave in the New York Times. Somebody emailed that to me. I read that one.
You mean Word Soup?
Yeah. And I watched him today. Really at his best, and it's why he's had his success.
Okay.
I watched him.
I'm sorry. Could you translate that into
English? He's had success.
Yeah, he was
Trump at his best because they tracked his lies in that interview, and it was almost a minute.
Well, no, not the interview. He was with the Coast Guard today, and he had 77 Coast Guard people.
Got it.
That he, I guess it started where Trump was going to go play golf at his club, which is a world-class club down at Mar-a-Lago.
I've heard Trump, that Mar-a-Lago is the world-class club.
We've heard that.
And everybody should go golf down at Mar-a-Lago.
What does a membership cost there? About
$200,000.
Yeah. Eric, you're a member, right?
It doubled when Donald Trump became president.
If I am, I'm going to get a lot richer, clearly.
There was some event with the Coast Guard folks that were first responders during the hurricane in Florida. And Trump initially invited a couple guys to play and then kind of said, who would like to play? And like all 80 of them raised their arms. So Trump said, okay, we're going to create a mini tournament. And he did this kind of live on television. So I did see this today as I was going through the dial.
I did not hear about this.
And he was really, he was very good. He was Trump television Trump, not President Trump. He was TV Trump, cracking jokes, slapping people on the back. He was a very good MC,
right.
And you can see the side of him that people liked and that people like. And it made me think.
And that people voted for.
That's the Donald Trump that maybe 10 years ago I would have laughed and said, yeah, that's pretty funny.
I have to say there's a video of, you know, the Hall of Presidents introduced their President Trump statue, or the, robot, I don't know what you call it, automatrons, what do they call them? Animatronic? Presidents?
I'm not sure.
Are they, so, if, you know, when the president rises, then
you mean
he does
at Disneyland?
At Disney World.
Yes, Disney World. Is Disney World in Florida or in
Disney
California?
World's in Florida. Disneyland's in.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been at Disney World. Star Wars' first movie was A New Hope. Sorry.
So they have introduced
was
President
that the
Trump's...
Number, was that the fourth Star Wars or the first?
Yeah, it was...
Here we go again.
Okay.
Sorry, but when Ken demonstrates that he's actually not from this planet, which occasionally he does...
I think a lot of people don't know where Disney World is. I think that some people mistake Disneyland, Disney World, which one's which, especially if you've never been. I wouldn't...
Well, because most people just refer to it as Disney. I'm going to Disney.
Yes, I think so. I mean,
I was there and I didn't know it was Disney World.
You just want to... You're looking for reasons to pick on him for never seeing Star Wars.
No, look, it's just they're so easy. They're thrown out. But anyway, sorry, Ken.
That's okay.
Hall of Presidents. The new President Trump statue robot has been introduced, and he rises to do his inaugural speech.
Oh, no.
And he was heckled by somebody just yelling, lock him up. I get that somebody doesn't like that president. You just ruined that experience. I mean, he wouldn't stop. He was just yelling constantly. Guess what? That's not actually Donald Trump.
So
that's
were the-
not.
You sure that the animatronic?
True. I mean, no, that's right. I mean, that's you're right. stupid for yelling.
But are you sure that the whoever was yelling at him wasn't the other presidents in the Hall of Presidents?
No, it was a man in the back. I actually know where he was sitting. It's actually in the back, and I'm sure he was there so you get out quickly because that back area is where the wheelchairs go. That's where we were with Declan. So I can, it's that whole row in the back that's very wide with fewer seats, and he was near. You could tell he was kind of near the exit. You could hear people in the theater yelling back at him. It's just, I mean, here's the thing. I almost got into a fight with a mom in the Hall of Presidents because my mom, it was a whole thing. She had a child with a disability and she thought that we were staring at her, not realizing that we were the child. I was actually smiling and she thought I was doing something untoward or offensive. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I was going to tell you, I hope you're having a great time. But she took it the wrong way. And then she saw me with Declan and she decided to dig in and she's like, yeah, just because you're a special needs mom doesn't mean you're a good person. I was like, I don't know what just happened. So I almost got into a fight there. Now imagine someone yelling, lock him up. That would ruin it for, I mean, like,
yeah, it's not cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I may want to lock him up. And Bob Mueller may want to lock him up, but I wouldn't say that in front of a bunch of 10-year-olds.
I think it was stupid.
And I'd like to get Eric's reaction to this. One of, the risks that those who are not exactly enamored with President Trump, one of the risks I think that they take, and this includes the media, is an overreaction.
Yes.
There's too much. After Watergate and the success of Woodward and Bernstein, the movie All the President's Men, which made them global, first journalists probably to be global celebrities, there's been a since that time, there's been kind of a trend where journalists try to do the gotcha game to try to become, you know, to try to be...
Make a name for themselves.
Make a name for themselves, to be the next Woodward and Bernstein. And there's a lot of that that's been going on this
year. Exactly.
Not that it hasn't been justified, but a lot of that. Eric, do you agree with that?
I do. I mean, look, the president gives a lot of fodder. I mean, it's daily. And a lot of folks on his team, the press briefings, you know, things like this. However, I do agree to somewhat that... Sometimes there's been a rush to report something. The fellow from ABC News,
right.
You know, a rush to be the first one out there with something, and they totally whiff, and it just is.
And they have to backtrack, and now they've.
Well, and it
actually helps the president,
yeah.
Well, because he's able to point to that and say, "See,
they're not credible."
And that reminds me of the scene in All the President's Men,
absolutely,
where they tried. They thought they had Haldeman. They did not have him the way they thought they did.
Right,
they had him, but they didn't have him.
And Deep Throat gave him a huge lecture in the garage about, you know, you just made people. You did something we thought was impossible. You made them feel sorry for Haldeman.
Right. Yes, although anyone felt sorry for Flynn. Was it who was it that they did the story wrong? It wasn't Flynn.
Yeah, it was Flynn.
It was Flynn that he had done something while Trump was already in office, when in fact the charges were something that occurred before.
Correct.
During the campaign.
Their administration.
Right. Yeah, that wasn't Flynn. That was was Junior.
Whoa.
Yeah, no. What she's talking about.
Got it.
What she's talking
the
about.
The misrepresentation.
Is
the misreporting.
Yeah, where the argument
Kushner.
Was that they knew before it had been public about WikiLeaks. And in fact, it was after.
Right.
Well, you know, in a.
But look, these mistakes happen.
So did I.
And the difference between. I mean, remember, what's so interesting is that in Watergate, you know, you had the Washington Post and the New York Times in an intense competition, similar to how you have the Washington Post and the New York Times in intense competition now. The difference is that their competition was for daily publishing. And now the competition is for minute-by-minute publishing. Yeah. So the need to fact-check, the need to make sure your stuff is bulletproof before you go out is often trumped by the need to, no pun intended, by the need to break first.
Wait, what's this chart you sent me? Was this a chart you sent, the year in charts from the New York Times, Eric, about, was this yours or Ken's?
That was New York Times, I think, today.
So there's a lot of stuff that doesn't look great. There's a lot in here that you sent. Ignore the bragging. Trump's presidency has not been productive. a fresh windfall for the rich. And did you see that Marco Rubio is saying that they might have gone too far with tax break for corporations?
Golly, Marco, who would have
they have a chance to go back in at any time and change it. And I think you're going to see some of that. I'd like to think you'll see some of that.
Well, some people are angry. Let's talk about this when we come back, because a lot of people wanted to file their or pay their property taxes ahead of the end of the year. And it may not make any difference.
Correct.
And that's angering. Angering.
That would anger me.
Well,
angry.
They created chaos, and then they're going to create anger.
Yeah, chaos and anger. Anger and chaos.
Kanger.
That's my band name. More after this on 720. Kanger!
Kanger.
More after this on 720 WGS. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We're doing a little bit of a year-end wrap-up. You know, people are going to have their lists. I think we're just kind of throwing out there what you think the biggest stories of the year were, what's grabbed your attention. Ken Jakubowski, who's the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises, said that he took the week off from all social media. He completely unplugged and was relieved to not have to know what anyone was tweeting at any particular time. And that is one of the big stories of the year, is the tweeting and how policy and representation of the United States comes across in tweets now. So I think that's big. I think actually one of the biggest stories of the year, Eric Elk had a lot of play in, which is the soda tax. I think it was a remarkable moment in Chicago and Cook County history where constituents said we will not let this stay, and I wish that people would react that way to a lot of other things that are reprehensible, but for the soda tax, people did not want to pay extra.
Yeah, I mean, it's in other areas around the country, they've been successful in implementing it and passing it. Cook County
at the same rate, the same amount of money that we were,
different variations,
a penny an ounce,
variations of
I've
tax.
Actually seen 2 pennies an ounce somewhere, I think, on the West
and
Coast.
It stays. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, San Francisco.
But it was sold differently here. And Eric and I have talked a lot about this. It was sold here as, oh, it's for your health.
Mm-hmm.
BS. It wasn't. It had to do with the fact that we have a Cook County exec and a Cook County board that can't balance a budget. And they were desperate.
And they don't know how to sell themselves to their constituents, to the people that they're supposed to represent and act in behalf of.
They were duplicitous. And people saw right through it. And I don't think it's the last time that we are going to see people rise up for a tax. With the new change in the tax code, I think states like Illinois are going to be hamstrung now.
Yep.
Go ahead and try to raise property taxes. Go ahead and try to raise the state income tax. Put a tax in the city in some way, shape, or form. People will go crazy.
The new limitations on deductions, which previously you were able to deduct your state and property taxes, there's a cap now of $10,000 combined, and that's going to hit states like Illinois. And if you saw, there's a list that shows the counties it's going to hit the hardest. And I think Lyle, Warren, there were three Illinois counties.
Actually, Lake was higher ranked than Cook.
It was. Yeah. Yes. And that was something that was surprising.
Lake was the top ranked county.
Do you see how much New Jersey?
Well, you know why. It's all Aaron Lawler's fault.
Is it all Aaron Lawler's fault? Wow. Hi, Aaron Lawler.
Get that guy out of there.
Sorry.
He is working very hard for his constituents and has.
No, we love Aaron Lawler.
Yes, we do.
But I think, you know, to the point Ken made, and I think Dave, you were hitting on it. The voters are starting to really organize. People are kind of starting to use the different media platforms available.
Yeah.
And really start to hammer their elected officials.
Media platforms. It was showing at movie theaters. You're paying too much for soda. And I was getting messages from people. I'm watching a movie and I'm getting an ad for repeal the soda tax.
By the way, people is an Eric Elk euphemism for big soda.
Yeah.
In the embodiment of Eric Elk and his band
smart,
of miscreants.
Because you've got a big, huge soda that you could jet ski across. And people are like, wait, how much more did I just pay for this? And then they see this thing come across the screen, bigger than life. And if they have their 3D glasses, was it in 3D?
That was very
as well?
Clever. Of people.
Of people. Of individuals.
Air quotes around people.
Captive audience.
Captive audience.
But no, look, you're exactly right. And it will be interesting to see how this plays itself out, because I know one of the states is trying to figure out how they can basically shove it back up Washington. Because the reality is, that the people in the red states think that the people in the blue states are the blood suckers that suck all the tax revenue out of the red states.
And in fact,
and nothing could be further from the truth.
In fact, the blue states fund the red states.
The blue states fund the red states. And so now you're going to fund them more, and you're going to penalize people in the tax producing states. And so the real interesting question is there room for innovation at the state level to tell Washington, slow down there, big fella?
I want to make this point clear for anyone who's wondering what we're talking about as far as the blue states funding the red states. The amount of money that is put back into economy by how much money we pay in is disproportionate. Illinois receives less federal funding than what we pay in our federal taxes.
Correct.
And our surrounding states, including Wisconsin and Indiana, Iowa, receive more in federal funding. We are funding them.
Yes, right.
New York, New Jersey, California are the same as Illinois, only to a greater extent.
So and we're just like one of the coastal elite states.
Yes. Well, but the same is true of Chicago. By the way, the same is true at the state level. Chicago, a lot of the places where people think that we're getting more money because we're urban and we have people will call in and talk to me about the welfare queens, when in fact there are counties, most of the counties south of us are getting we're getting 70 some cents per dollar in state funding back. And a lot of the other places are getting between $1 and $3 back. And so, you know, this is something that it's hard. It's not as tangible as a soda tax. Right. So people aren't rising up and going, hey, well,
these are great points, Patty. And I think people, I think we've seen the beginning of a tax revolution brought on by the changes in this tax bill. People will notice it in the spring of 2019
when they
start to figure all this stuff out on paper for the first time, and they're going to freak out when they see what they can't deduct, et cetera, et cetera.
And then go ahead and try to raise taxes on them. People tend to not follow these things. Because mm-hmm. when it's in your pocketbook, they'll follow. Yeah, but Ken, it's like utility rate increases.
Yeah.
People only notice when somebody tells them to notice. The soda tax was different because people noticed every single freaking time they had a soda.
Yeah, but I think
Whereas your taxes, you'll notice once a year and then you forget about it.
Yeah.
And for a lot of folks, it depends. We talked
about this a little bit last week when we were talking about how robust Scott Santis was saying that he sees, you know, really good things coming from this, that the economy is going to benefit, that people are going to really get more confident. And what we were talking about is, you know, start preparing then. What is that? If you start seeing more money in your 401k, or if you see more money in your check, if you've survived on what you've been doing, then figure out ways to start squirreling that away. Because as we've seen time and time again, is that we get confident when things start to really boom, we see the after effects of that. And you've got to prepare for that and pay attention to your taxes. Start looking at those numbers.
Biblical lesson.
I did a little bit of research, and I think we can say with confidence that everybody will pay more than they're supposed to in January, and then there will be an adjustment mm-hmm. in February when the new tax rates kick in, and as you go throughout the year. And my advice to people is, until you see the entire lay of the land, just don't go spend the money.
No.
Save it just to make sure that when the following spring comes, you're okay in case you end up having to pay more than you would think that you're going to pay. Yeah. Don't just buy the rhetoric, oh, I got a tax cut. Nah, maybe not.
Right.
Well, maybe not.
And they expire, by the way, yes.
Well, and they expire, but also, so I had been led to believe from reading the stories, and obviously I read a lot of these stories, that as an owner of a business that does pass-through income.
Don't tell me that we're not getting that standard deduction.
We're not actually getting the tax cut we thought. So I had been led to believe that those of us who own S-Corps or LLCs or other pass-through businesses, that we're supposed to be getting 20 or 23% deduction before 20%. That's even taxable. And that's what we were told, right? And that's what the calculators online say. Well, apparently that's really for the ultra rich, but they exclude people like accountants and lawyers and consultants.
Independent contractors.
And other service providers. And it's not, and my accountant was telling, because I asked him, I said, should I prepay? And what's, you know, because I was saying, I had done a preliminary calculation and I was going to get enough money back that I was going to be able to pay for my bar mitzvah with the Trump tax cut. Not my bar mitzvah, but with Eli's bar mitzvah with the Trump tax cut.
Dave, you're making me miss whiskey and a cookie. We've got to go to the news. right now. You're freaking. I have a cookie though. I have Tom's mom's cookies.
But
so
no whiskey.
I'm gonna just cuddle in the corner with my Tom's mom's cookies. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn and give us a call if you want to join our conversation. Please do. Don't hang back. 312-981-7200. What was the big news story? What was the big thing that happened? It doesn't have to be in politics. It doesn't have to be anything that was related to what we're talking about. It could be anything, pop culture or just something that caught your attention. 312-981-7200. What made your list? Here with your news is the one and only Roger Badish. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We're warm and toasty here, so I hope that you are safe wherever you are tonight. It is freezing cold. Please take care. And I want to also mention, because I saw something on social media about dogs being left outside. I know Steve Dale would want to remind you, please do not leave your pets outside for very long. Maybe you think they've got a lot of fur, or they can acclimate. They are susceptible to cold weather, especially if they're indoor pets. Please take care of your family members. They're your family members, your pets. In studio with me, we have Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, and also a political strategist and regular guest on the Justin Kaufman Show on Monday nights, a part of Touche. We also have Eric Elk, who is also a political strategist. He is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois, and former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk. And we have in studio with us Ken Jakubowski, crisis communications expert, also the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. And we've been talking about the big news stories of the year, and it could be anything. And we want to reiterate, it doesn't have to be the White House, but perhaps Peter has some thoughts from Elmhurst. Peter, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very well, sir. What's going on?
Well, I was just thinking about the tax code, the new changes that are coming into place. And I'm actually in favor of reducing some of the deductions. Specifically, I'm not sure why the banking industry should be subsidized for some of, like, the interest that we're paying. I would rather see the standard deduction increase so those that are maybe renting can, you know, benefit from these tax cuts. And then therefore,
you mean the caps on property taxes? So people who are renting maybe will benefit now, since those who own property.
Or does he mean mortgage interest deductions?
I was specifically talking about the mortgage interest deduction.
Okay,
but it sort of, to me, falls under this whole umbrella of let's limit deduction and let's just focus on lowering the overall rates.
Okay.
And letting kind of just like the stones fall. Under that regime.
And it sounds like you're following this pretty closely. Do you pay attention every week, every time you get a paycheck, as to how much is withheld for your taxes?
Maybe, but I will say that I'm as a former tax professional, that's something that's sort of near and dear to me. I'm now more on the accounting side, but I get it and I follow it. And although I suspect, because I am a homeowner and some of these deductions I think I will lose, I am convinced that this is better not just for me personally, but for kind of overall society.
Interesting. All right. What do you think, Ken?
I don't disagree with him. I think that the devil's in the details, and this bill was done so fast. There's so much in this bill that people are discovering each day. I think we need to wait and see, because I don't think thought out real well in certain areas. I think the caller is speaking very logically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that this bill was done very logically.
Oh, interesting. Peter, what do you think about the people who believe that they will avoid a lot of tax increases by paying their property assessments before the end of the year?
I think you have to read the letter of the law, and as long as your county is assessing what I would sort of refer to as a specific tax, and you're not just writing a blank check to a county,
right?
That deduction should be counted.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the law says, and if that's what they pass, I don't see how they would be able to deny that at this point in time.
With one caveat there, which is that if you are subject to the alternative minimum tax, there may not be much, if any, benefit for you of prepaying.
But you shouldn't be.
Fair enough. In 19,
if you earn $1 million or more as a married filing jointly, and your adjusted gross income is $1 million or more, that's where the alternative minimum tax
no,
will come
in. No, it's not.
Yeah.
They changed their rule.
Eric, we're,
no,
we're
it comes in at $100,000.
No, for 18 it does, not for 19. 19 it changed.
Okay, I'm not going to get into the weeds. Yes, Eric.
Here's one thing I just wanted to point out real quick. It's just a quick comment. I'm just going to read this quote. It's... our current corporate tax system is outdated, unfair, and inefficient. It provides tax breaks for moving jobs and profits overseas and hits companies that choose to stay in America with one of the highest tax rates in the world.
It is
unnecessarily complicated and forces America's small business to spend countless hours and dollars filing their taxes.
What?
It's not right. It needs to change.
That was President
Barack Obama in 2012.
Okay.
With a proposal
to cut rates to
28%.
Okay.
And so I think that, you know, at the time you had Tim Geithner on board, you had Ms. Pelosi, you had Chuck Schumer from the Senate on board. And, you know, so for Democrats to scream and holler when this tax bill is trying to cut the rates and things like that.
I don't think it's necessarily those details. I think it's the other things that people are yelling about, whether it's eliminating the mandates, the caps on the deductions on state and property taxes, which is why there's causing so much confusion right now. I mean, everyone's got a different thing that they're yelling about, and not necessarily – I haven't heard anybody yelling about that. People are yelling about private jet fuel.
I'm yelling about that. but I'm yelling about that because it's out of whack. And that's even what Marco Rubio was talking about, which is it's not a question of – Does our tax system need to be reformed? Does it need to be changed? Absolutely. But this particular piece of legislation is so one-sided in favor of the corporations who get permanent tax cuts, large, huge tax cuts, at the expense of individuals who have short, temporary, and relatively modest tax cuts.
Well, wait a second. Hold on there, Tonto. The temporary nature of the individual tax cuts, while folks on our side of the aisle have made a huge deal out of that, it's done only because of the unique nature in which the Republicans wanted to force this thing through without needing a Democratic vote. Those taxes while they are set to expire, it's only done to keep the deficit from growing more than $1.5 trillion. They will be extended at the appropriate time. Otherwise, it will be a massive tax increase on America.
Ken, I disagree with you, and I disagree with you because the deficits, you know, the $1.5 trillion in increased deficits that this tax bill will minimum create, that's assuming the economy stays strong. If we have a recession in this country, you're going to see deficits of the $1 to $2+ trillion a year, and then you're going to have to let those tax cuts expire.
You're freaking me out, guys.
It's Freak Out Friday.
I know. Taxes freak me out. And Peter, I want to thank you so much for your call. I hope that you got everything you wanted to do. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we go to the break? Peter?
No, I would just say, like, let's not think doom and gloom. I would say
it's taxes. How do you not think doom and gloom? Every time I sign my taxes, I'm like, well, this might be the year I go to jail. I don't know how you don't think that.
I think you need a new accountant.
I get a new accountant.
I just said the same thing.
I do H&R Block. I don't know what to tell you. All right, Peter, thank you so much for joining us pretty late. Hey, can you come to my party at Filament Theater? We're celebrating New Year's Eve. Go to eventbrite.com for tickets. More after this on 720 WGN. Thanks for calling, Peter. Hanging out pretty late. You know what we were going to cover? We're covering a lot of the top stories, and somehow we landed on taxes and how people feel about that and perhaps about the administration. And Mike has some thoughts. Hey, Mike, how are you doing? Hold on one second. Make sure.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
The last caller, the caller before him, who was saying that renters should get a break.
Yes.
That confuses me. You want renters to get a break, but then you don't want to limit property taxes. I'm in favor of this tax plan, and I'll tell you why. Because it limits what the rich people can write off on their taxes. Now, everybody that's a liberal or a Democrat or a progressive claims they want a progressive income tax. Well, this is a way of doing it.
Interesting.
This is a way of doing it where the rich people can't write off everything, because some of these rich communities, and if you can afford to live there, great. You worked hard, you deserve it. But their public schools are de facto private schools because you have to live within a geographic boundary. So they pay more taxes to support those schools. It would be like someone, why can't someone living in a city that sends their kid to a Catholic or Lutheran school write everything off? Oh, well, you can't do that.
I think they can. Can't they? Can you can write off Catholic school?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I can tell you that because we are paying a lot of Catholic tuition. No, we can't write it off.
Well, with one caveat, though, the new tax plan, the new tax law allows you not only to take your 529 plan, which was used to pay for college, you can now use it to pay for private schools below college.
And Dave, as someone who would,
which is a voucher plan.
Hold on, Mike. Mike's got the table. Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, one more thing I wanted to say. A lot of people in Illinois want to reopen the state constitution to get a progressive income tax.
Right.
Now, I think the people that are bankrupt in public education are trying to force you into this, because once you reopen that constitution, everything's on the table. That means the limits that say you can't diminish a public pension, they'll take those away from the teachers and the firefighters. We also are not charged state income tax on retirement income. Well, if you open it up, that's off the table.
And we're one of the few states.
Actually, no.
What?
That's not a constitutional issue.
It's not constitutional.
You don't have to open the Constitution to do that.
You don't have to open the Constitution.
Okay, the third issue is, it says in the state constitution, the primary responsibility for funding public education is the state. Once you open up that constitution, they could get rid of that and say, you're on your own now. Think about that.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it's been ignored.
Okay, no.
I think
it out completely, then the city of Chicago or the parents are going to have to pay. This is the best way to get a progressive income tax.
Well,
instead of opening up the state constitution, you limit the tax breaks for the millionaires.
Well, Mike,
You want the 1% to pay more, don't you?
Well,
Mike, you're asking a question. Now give Ken an opportunity
Mike, I'll say this. I agree with you that I think the talk of a progressive income tax in Illinois, several candidates have been promoting that, in particular on the Democratic side.
Senator Biss running for governor. Yes.
And I also think J.B. Pritzker as well. In light of the new federal tax legislation, they have to rethink their positions.
Significant,
really? Yeah, I think a progressive tax in Illinois is a non-starter at this point. Forget about it. It's not going
to
happen.
I've got the best way to fund public education, and it's not going to cost you an extra dime.
We're all ears.
Okay, how about we cut out the public corruption first? I work for the city, and they waste more money on gimmies to private contractors. If you cut the corruption out, you could pay for health care and education for everybody.
That's Come on, Mike. Not. I thought you were going to say it was homeschooling. Jeez.
No. But we cut up the corruption.
I would say,
Mike, honestly, I was chairman of the board of the Better Government Association. You're not going to out-corruption me, but the amount of waste, fraud, and abuse is not going to pay for health care and public pensions and the rest of it. It is a 3-5% overpayment that is offensive, and we should stop, but it ain't
going to.
How much is it? How much has it changed?
Tens of millions of dollars a year going to waste and fraud there.
Right. You have tens of millions, but we're billions short.
Yeah. Mike, you brought up.
If I could find $20 million, a forensic accountant should be able to find more.
I need all the forensic accountants. That's what I want. I want a forensic accountant.
You want that for Christmas?
I do. Can you get me a forensic accountant?
You just want to be able to tell people that you've hired a forensic accountant, because you sound immediately incredibly intelligent.
I never want a forensic accountant.
Mike, thank you so much for bringing up excellent points.
Mike.
Thank you so much. It is time. We have to. We definitely have to get to a game. We also want to address an interesting text that came through from a gentleman who says his wife works at Disney World, and they opened the Hall of Presidents later than they ever have. So if he wants to give us a call, if he's still listening, we would love to talk to you. Sorry, we just got to your text just now. We're going to play What's That From, which means we're going to read a movie scene. We are going to read some dialogue from a script from a movie that perhaps you've seen, perhaps sounds familiar, but you're like, oh, what's that from? What is that from? And then you'll know, and then you'll call us, and you will win a gift card from Apt Electronics.
And I haven't I haven't known any of these movies that we've
seen. You're an aficionado.
This one, this one I know. This one.
I have not seen this movie since I was in college, so like I've got to watch this.
I saw it this afternoon.
And I love,
I've only seen it 100, 150 times.
I love the movie that you just saw. So let's talk about Spotlight later, which is a great movie, but you also saw...
Great movie.
What was the other one you saw?
The Churchill movie.
Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour is outstanding. All the Money in the World, outstanding.
It's fantastic.
I, Tonya, by the way, just to take it in a different direction of complete camp and crazy.
That's
so much fun.
That's really? What I heard, yes.
Okay, so as a member of
How'd your knees feel at the end?
as a member of the Screen Actors Guild, I get a screener. So I've watched it twice now. That's how much I want to go back. Allison Janney is incredible. Margot Robbie, just so good. But the supporting cast is great, too.
Who does Margot Robbie play?
She plays Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding.
Oh, my goodness.
She's
okay,
whoa.
That's a serious... upgrade.
Oh, she is. I know. Yes, you're absolutely.
I'm sorry. Margot Robbie is gorgeous.
But she plays Tonya. She does such a wonderful job of Tonya Harding. Wow. Let's talk about that later because we are going to do that. None of the movies we just mentioned are what that's from.
No.
What that's from is what this is from.
They don't know that.
They don't. Now they'll know.
Oh, yeah.
I said,
sorry.
312-981-7200. When you know what that's from, give us a call. Jessica is behind the glass. Be nice to her when you call. Please don't yell at her. I already saw her have to lose somebody on the phone. She ain't playing because I tell her not to play. But she's filling in for Michael Heidemann. And Roger Badish has pulled this script for us. Roger, you have some production value for us.
I think we're ready to start.
This is exciting.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Now Woodman starts to dial, visibly nervous, a fact he tries very hard to keep out of his voice tone.
White House.
Howard Fund, please.
Throughout the following call, we stay on Woodman's face, hear the other voices.
Mr. Funt does not answer.
Woodman is delighted he's even there.
Thanks anyway.
And he's about to hang up when...
I'll bet he's in Mr. Coleman's office. Let me connect you. Charles Coleman's wire.
Howard Funt, please.
Mr. Funt isn't here right now.
Thanks anyway.
And he's about to hang up again when...
Have you tried Mullen & Company Public Relations? He works at Mullen & Company Public Relations as a writer. The number is 555-1313. I'm sorry I couldn't be more helpful.
Listen, forget it.
He hangs up, sits there. His hands are a little twitchy. Rosengeld hurrying towards his office. Woodman, looking for something in his desk throughout the scene, speaks to him.
Who's Charles Coleman?
I would liken your query to being in Russia half a century ago and asking someone, I understand who Lenin is and Trotsky. I got two, but who's this yokel Stalin?
Who's Coleman, Harry?
The most powerful man in America is the president. Probably you've heard his name.
Woodman, unfazed by anything, continues to open drawers, close them as Rosengeld rolls on.
The second most powerful man is Robert Halton. Just below him are a trio. Mr. Eberlin is Halton's friend, and they protect the president from everybody, which is why they are referred to as either the German Shepherds or the Berlin Wall. Mr. Gitlin, we've already discussed. Mr. Coleman is the president's special counsel.
Thanks, Harry. Know anything about Coleman?
Just that on his office wall, there's a cartoon with a caption reading, when you've got them by the toes, their hearts and minds will follow.
Woodman nods, heads back towards the file as we cut to Woodman at his desk dialing the phone. He's got the Coleman file spread out now, and we see pictures of the man and articles the newspaper had done on him. But basically what we see is Woodman plugging away on the phone, and you'd think his finger would fall off from all the dialing, and you know his voice is tiring as this montage goes on. You can hear it grow raspy, but a lot of what a reporter does, he does on the phone, and that's what we're compressing here. The dialing never stops. The voices are continuous.
Hello, I'm Bob Woodman of the Atlanta Star, and Mullen & Company Public Relations, could you tell me when you expect Mr. Funt? Oh, he is.
Howard Funt here.
Hi, I'm Bob Woodman of The Star, and...
Yes, what is it?
I was just kind of wondering why your name and phone number were in the address books of two of the men arrested at Firewall.
Good God!
And he bangs the phone down sharply. More dialing sounds, now snatches of conversation.
I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Leonard, but we're doing some investigating of one of your employees, Howard Funt.
Well, if you've been doing some investigating, then obviously it's no secret to you that Howard is with the CIA.
No secret at all.
More dialing then.
Hello, CIA. This is R.W. Woodman of the Atlanta Star. Get me personnel.
Dialing again, Woodman's voice is showing genuine fatigue.
Hi, I'm Bob Woodman of the Atlanta Star, and what's that? You've never heard of me? I can't help that. You don't believe I'm with the Post? What do you want me to do, madam, about extra? Extra!
There's the sound of the phone being slammed down in his ear, hard.
Ooh. Oh, the phone lines are lighting up. I think people know the answer.
How will they figure this one out?
To what's that from Richard, first of all, please tell me how you enjoyed the reformation of word usage by our very own Eric Elk when it came to cat him by...
I wanted him to say it.
Catch a tiger by his toe, apparently, is what he went with. Hey, Richard, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? I like that. I think we all know what he's talking about, though.
Yes. He could have said cojones, but he didn't. He went with toe. I like that. Eric was very quick. That was some good improvising. He's got him by the toe, he says. Richard, what is that? What's that from, Richard?
All the President's Men.
Yay!
There you go.
Excellent. Congratulations. Now, when was the last time you saw this movie?
A week ago.
What?
Wow.
I thought it was apropos to what's happening, so I watched it again. I called my brother in Oregon and told him to watch it if he could.
All right, that's it. I'm going home after the show and watching all the
Yeah, I did
tonight.
Too. I watched
You know what else
like
you should do?
Ago.
Watch the Ben Bradley documentary.
Okay.
It covers a lot of this, a lot of interviews with Bradley. I think it's a great accompaniment to the movie.
Have you seen Frost Nixon?
Yes.
That's enjoyable as well.
I just watched that the other night.
That's enjoyable. And Spotlight, not the same thing, but...
And not only did I watch Frost Nixon, because I've seen the movie before multiple times.
Oh, you watched the real interview?
I actually watched the Watergate interview.
Interesting.
Because I'm like, yeah, I really want to see this. And it's on YouTube, of course, as is everything. It's fantastic.
Yeah. No, this is all... It is
But it also
mesmerizing.
Shows how Frank Langella really kind of was melodramatic in a way that Richard Nixon was not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Frank Langella is great, but you have to raise the stakes when you're making a movie. It has to be the most extraordinary day. Everything has to be over the top in order for it to be a movie that people will be drawn into. Richard, thank you so much. You have won a gift card from Apt Electronics. Where do you live, Richard?
Waukegan.
That's a hop, skip, and a jump from Glenview. That'd be great. The store is in Glenview, or if you want, you can shop online at abt.com. And again, that gift card is thanks to our friends at Apt Electronics. And say hi to Steve Shapiro when you stop out there. Thank you, Richard. Have a great week. And a great weekend. Thanks. And Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you now.
Pleasure. Thank you so much. By the way, our listener... John, who texted earlier about his wife.
He texted that he called back, but his call dropped because he's in the middle of a delivery job in Nowhere, Indiana. And he will call back after the news.
Okay, call back after the news and after our interview with Dannenberger Family Vineyards, because we have an interview that I recorded earlier. So because the Blackhawks were playing and I didn't want to keep her up. So we're going to run that and then we'll talk to John and then say all of our favorite things. Tell me something good when we come back later. It's time now for our news. This is Chicago's very own, and here with everything you need to know is Roger Badish. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am so thrilled to be welcoming my friends on the... You know, it's funny. Sometimes I say guests. Sometimes I say my friends who are guests. My friends are on the line with me. We have Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer, who is our Friday night regular sidecar. And joining us is Susan Dannenberger, our extraordinary winemaker and friend of the show from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Susan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm warm and toasty, even though it's freezing outside.
Well, you guys have got to be at least, what, maybe 4 or 5 degrees warmer in central Illinois compared to Chicago?
If we're lucky, yeah.
Yeah, it is a frozen tundra in Chicago as well. And Elliot, you're staying home tonight, too, and just snuggling, hunkering down with Sinbad, aren't you?
Yeah. The cold is wreaking havoc on everything, including my mode of transportation. So I'm staying in. Sorry.
That's okay. I don't hold it against you. Fortunately, you can hunker down and watch some series on Netflix. I know we've all been sort of binging on different things, which is why Elliot's genius creation, Binge and Uncork. And I just thinking about this notion, Elliot, that you came up with just off the cuff one night when we were hanging out with Susan, just tickles me. It's wonderful.
I appreciate it. I was inspired, though, by Susan and her husband talking about how music affects the taste of wine. And I was going, oh, wow, well, if that happens in music, I wonder what happens with movies and television and all those things. And I expected Susan to laugh me off and go, ha, you silly boy, that doesn't happen. And lo and behold, it actually works.
There, I know, and so far we've done Orange is the New Black, we've done Glow, we've done The Punisher, we've done some pretty dark series, and I realize that we've got to lighten it up a little bit for Susan, but Rob Martyr recommended a series that I had seen and enjoyed quite a bit of. Two seasons of the series Bloodline are available on Netflix, and that was Susan's assignment. Susan, what did you think of this series about this family with all these like demons lurking beneath the surface in the keys with this resort that this family owns? What'd you think?
I couldn't have guessed that it was going to go this way. So when Rob said it, I just thought, oh, it's going to be another big red wine. Just from the name, Bloodline, I'm like, oh, this is going to be, you know, pins and needles. It is those pins and needles, but in another way.
It is.
I could never have predicted how the show, it just keeps doing more and more craziness, and it's just almost a little bit at the edge of your seat, awkward, like you just can't even imagine some of this stuff.
Well, everybody makes so many bad choices, too. I mean, it is kind of like watching a family completely implode, isn't it?
Oh, it's just, it makes me feel so awful for people sometimes. I'm thinking, is this really happening? This can't really be happening in people's lives.
Well, I have to say, it makes me feel better about my own relationships with my family.
I know. But it's in the keys, so you know, it's hot and balmy down there. So I immediately knew after like watching the second one that a red wine wasn't going to work. The girls were toasting with Chardonnay a lot, and I thought, oh yeah, but it had to be something with some bite to it. It really did. It had to have some acidity just because of all the tenseness.
Right,
it can't be something soft and easy on the palate. It had to have a little bit of crispness to counteract all that.
I love the idea that for this series, because there's so much tension, you'd rather than going with a red wine as you have with series that are tense but maybe a little more action-packed, right? This is all watching a drama unfold and seeing the extents to which people will go to either protect their family or, you know, or just protect themselves. A lot of it comes down to self-preservation. I love Kyle Chandler. Sissy Spacek is one of my favorite actresses. Sam Shepard, who had passed away earlier this year, so it's kind of wild to see him as the patriarch of this family.
Oh yeah, it was you know, even a good can be bad or bad can be good. The way they
twist
this around the show is scandalous.
It really is. Now, Elliot, I know you haven't had a chance to see this series, but I do think you would enjoy it. But I told you, Elliot, I had a theory because we were watching Susan's teasing posts on Instagram saying that we might be surprised by her selection and not going with a red wine. I thought it might be because it was about a coastal town. I was thinking, Susan, more because you're thinking, well, I would probably have a lot of seafood or shellfish if I was. But you're right. It has to also do with what everyone is always kind of sweaty, and it gets stormy, and you're right on the ocean. So yes, I could see where white wines would make more sense.
I mean, even while you're watching it, and it's freezing up here, but you're watching it, it's like beautiful Key West and palm trees, and you're like, yeah, I could really go for a glass of white wine right now. It almost made you feel a little bit warmer, and I thought Blanc was perfect for that one. It has this crispness to it, a little bit of acidity. I found myself kind of sipping it, and every once in a while I had to throw in an ice cube just because I'd sit there and kind of hold it and getting a little bit warm and feel hot.
right, I can imagine. So was that what you went with? What's the wine that you paired with Bloodline on Netflix?
It was Blanc.
Blanc. Oh. That's so great. I love that. I love that wine. See, and it makes complete sense. Elliot, now you know it's not always a red with an intense drama. What do you think, Elliot?
Well, yeah, well, now that you say it, I mean, you know, you're talking about a show where people get sweaty, and of course you want a chilled white wine. It goes together, I mean, I would think, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, so there you go. So now, is Blanc available on your website, or do you know if it's available at some of the Binnie's, where they carry the Dannenberger Family Vineyards wines?
It is available on the website.
Okay.
Has not picked a Blanc up yet.
Oh, they should get on that because it's fantastic.
They should.
So, but everyone can go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com to find out about that wine and so many of the others that she has on the site. And again, Dannenberger Family Vineyards is in New Berlin, Illinois, at 12341 Irish Road, a farm that has been in their family for five generations, Susan?
Yes, I'm the fifth.
These are wines that are grown right here. The grapes are grown in Illinois. It's our very own vineyard, our very own winemaker. I mean, I'm not trying to be possessive, Susan. I'm just saying you're an Illinois gal, and we love that. And I wanted to lighten it up for our next series. And Elliot, none of us have seen this, so this will be something we can all kind of I'm taking a chance here. And do you have Amazon as well? Do you do Prime Video?
So if we're all watching this together, we'll have to do a live tweet just in case.
Just, I think so too. Because this series is on Amazon, and I've been reading a lot of buzz about it. I'm a little bit nervous because it is about my career. I mean, not my career specifically, but it's in my field, what I've done for almost 20 years. It's a series called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon.
Ooh, I've heard of that one. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And it's supposed to be
comedian.
Yes, and it's got Golden Globe nominations, and it's about a woman who's a jilted wife and mother of two who tries to break into the Greenwich Village male-dominated comedy club scene. I think this takes place like in the 50s or 60s. So I'm a little bit nervous because it's weird to watch something that's about your career. I don't know. They're moved like Sideways. Not that that's not your career, but it's about wine.
No, you're right. It is, because you have a different perspective completely.
Right. You're kind of always like, I don't know. No, this is making me uncomfortable.
Well, that's how I feel about Big Bang Theory. So,
Big Bang Theory, the nerd show, exactly.
The nerds, yeah.
So this, I'll be. I don't know if I might. I'll have to see what Susan starts suggesting, so I can pair that with my viewing of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. And I have to run because I know that we've kept you guys up late. I thank you both so much, Susan. So we'll talk to you next Friday.
Yay.
Have a wonderful weekend. And and Happy New Year, you guys. What are you going to cheers with?
Year.
What are you toasting with from Dannenberger Family Vineyards?
We are having a party, but I also love Illinois wine, and Illinois Sparkling Company makes a bubbly, and I think I will probably toast with their product.
Well, wonderful. We'll follow Susan's photos because she always puts up some great pics. It's maybe from whether it's watching any of the series from Binge and Uncork, perhaps her New Year's Eve celebration. Follow her adventures on DFV Wines on Instagram. Is that right? The right handle for it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At DFV Wines on Instagram. Find her on Facebook. And Elliot Serrano, go to geektome.net and follow him on Twitter at Elliot Serrano. That's 2 L's, 2 T's. All the other letters where they belong. Right, Elliot?
That is correct.
Happy New Year, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Here's my something good. Usually we end the show with something good, and I told my friends in the studio, I have something I want to share with you that is near and dear to my heart. It might not seem like something good, but I promise it is, even if I start crying. But here, I want to talk to John, who has been so kind in his time to call us back. John, we were talking about the Hall of Presidents at Disney World, and John, I have to tell you something. We went to Disney World last year, right after Christmas, before New Year's, and my son wanted to go because he wanted to go before they installed the latest president. He wasn't going to be interested in seeing it again. And you have some inside information for us, don't you, about President Trump's automated, what do they call it, John? What do they call those robots?
Automatronics.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So. Anyway, my wife works there. She's worked there since the summer. We're in the process of relocating. I'm the sacrificial lamb staying back in this weather while my wife and son are down there, and she's got her dream job. But there have been multiple reasons. First, this is the latest it's usually 6 months. I mean, we've been going to Disney for 20 plus years. In 2009, Barack Obama, we were there in the summer, and there he was.
Right.
One of the Disney was worried about a couple things. The heckler you mentioned,
yep.
Yes, they were worried about that stuff. But the other thing is, my wife hasn't been to it, partly because we don't really want to see him, but we'll go to it eventually. I guess you said that his voice, it's the speech from his inauguration.
Correct.
That's because Disney's tried to get him to record separate recording for this, and he wouldn't do it.
Right.
Every other president that they've done, now that they've been open since 71, I don't know if they had Nixon and those, but I know Obama, Bush, Clinton, we've seen those.
Right.
Donald Trump, they tried, he wouldn't record, so they used his inauguration because they have the right to. It's public knowledge. It was there for everybody in the world to hear.
Right. It's public property. Absolutely.
But he didn't record something separate for it, and he's the first president that at least we've been told.
That's weird. You would think who he is, he would want to, like, create that,
yeah,
and make it stylish.
He's an egomaniac. He's an egomaniac, but he also, we've seen him for a year, he does know Disney's not exactly a conservative company.
But so I would say a lot of the patrons they span the political spectrum. So, I mean,
Sure. Right. But he's already come out against, he's come out and said stuff against ESPN. And
Disney own
media outlets. So he hasn't come out. I don't think he would come out and say something against Disney directly.
Right.
That would be kind of like calling people who own Pets yokels. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Good point. Oh, VP Pence.
Yeah. But like I said, this is the latest. We've witnessed it in the times we've been going there 20 years, that the previous three presidents, those were in there pretty quickly.
Right. Yeah, no, I was surprised it took so long to get it done. And a lot of people have reacted to the facial construction that it seems as though they started it before the election. And kind of, if you look closely, the eyes and the mouth and nose kind of look like it's Hillary.
I can't confirm or deny that.
Are you saying that the animatronic Donald Trump is a hermaphrodite?
I'm saying that it has the foundations.
So people are thinking it kind of looks like they started a Hillary.
Oh, yeah, that then, would yeah. make him Shame. Crazy.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Make?
But I can't confirm or deny that.
You're adorable, Dave. John, I love this behind the curtain information about Disney World. I hope you have a great new year. Are you still making deliveries tonight?
Yes. I'm just like Stark County.
All right. Well, be careful, okay? And I'm so
you.
Glad. I'm
Thank
so
you.
Glad you're tuning in, and we love hearing from you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you, John. And speaking of Happy New Year, Jasmine, are you going to join us at the Filament Theater for New Year's Eve?
I'm going to try. I'm going to ask my uncle if he can take me.
Yes. Come on. Please, 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 please. Either show. I think you would enjoy either show.
Do I still need to go online and get a ticket, though?
Hold on the line, and we'll see what we can do for... Jasmine's been calling the show.
It's Jasmine. We know Jasmine's voice.
We Jasmine.
Jasmine was here with us on election night, you guys.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Jasmine, you're like one of the characters. We're one of the people on the show. You're a regular. No. You're part of the cast of thousands on Pretty Late.
So if I go to your party, I really want to go to your party, by the way. I want to meet you in person.
I want to meet you, too.
My something good tonight was for Christmas. I got a whole set of new baseball gear.
Okay.
Great.
So what'd you get? You got a mitt?
I got a wooden bat.
Okay, great. Better.
A hitting tee and a new glove.
A new glove. Now, are you a righty or a lefty, Jasmine?
I throw with my right hand, so the glove goes on my left.
Exactly. So you're a righty. Do you know what kind of mitt you got? Because some people got their favorites.
I think it's just the fielder's glove.
That's all right. Because sometimes if you come, I bring your mitt. Will you bring your mitt? I'll bring my mitt. I'll just have it there.
What, you want to play catch inside?
Maybe. I can. I'll find a rag ball.
It's a theater. There's plenty of room.
There is plenty of room.
Oh, by the way, I was listening when you started the show earlier, and I have a bad joke you could use at your party.
Bring it, Jasmine. It's not. These aren't bad jokes. These are dad jokes. Okay, they're bad dad jokes. Yes, go ahead.
You want me to tell you real quick?
I want it. I want this joke, yes.
Well, have you ever been bowling?
I have.
Well, you know how the highest score you can get in bowling is 300?
Okay.
Well, there was once a guy who went bowling and got a score of 301. You know how he did that?
How did he do that?
He got 300 and he won.
Dave, 301. See? See? This is how we do.
Okay, let me just say, as a dad, I would never say that joke.
You know, okay, so my dad did dark jokes, Jasmine. My dad would always, whenever we would drive by St. Alphonsus Cemetery over on Harlem and Milwaukee, he would say, "Hey, Pat, you know they can't bury us in there." And I'd be like, "Why?" He goes, "Because we ain't dead yet."
See, that's a good dad joke.
Well, hopefully I'll be seeing you on Sunday.
I hope I'll see you on Sunday too, Jasmine. Have a great weekend and Happy New Year, darling.
Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you. Hold on the line. Can you hold on 1 second? Because I'm going to make sure that we. You know what? I can DM you on Twitter, right? I'll do that.
Yeah, my DMs are on, but yours aren't.
It's not. It should be. I'll turn it on. I will.
Okay.
Turn it.
Well, I'll be waiting for your message then.
Excellent, Jasmine. Have a great night.
Bye.
Let me get the Chris. Chris has been on hold for a while. Hey, Chris, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. Great to hear from you. What's going on?
I just wanted to wish you and your crew a happy and healthy new year.
Oh, same back at you, sir.
You keep me company during my work night, so.
Oh, we're glad to be here. I'm so glad you're hanging out with us. Yeah, happy new year. What are you doing for New Year's Eve?
I'm working.
You're working? Me too. It's
I got a bad joke for you.
Please give me the bad. Yeah, give me the bad jokes. People are going to be calling on Monday with more bad jokes for me. Go ahead. Hit me, Chris. Hit me.
A giraffe walks into a bar. And what does he say?
What's he say?
Hey, the highballs are on me.
I can't use that one at the kids' show. I cannot use that one at the kids' show.
That's why I said it was a bad joke.
I cannot use that one at the kids' show, but you made me laugh. See?
All right, Betty.
All right. Have a great new year, Chris. Talk to you again soon.
You too, dear.
Thank you so much. Joining us in studio is Matt Bubala. But before, Matt, I have to do my something good, and it's going to...
Please do.
You know, you have these sort of time hops on Facebook. So last night, I was after the show, I was going through my feed, and a very good friend of mine, picture with her came up because 7 years ago in 2010, Christine Bloomer passed away from colon cancer, and she was a really good friend of mine. And sometimes you see these Facebook pages of somebody who's died, they're still up, and I clicked on her name and I thought, you know what, let's see what other people are posting, and people are still posting great memories. Now, those of you who listen to Steve Cochran's show regularly, the wine diva was incredible. She was funny, she was kind, she would do his Halloween episode and tell you what wines paired with Halloween candy, and of course Steve would always ask what goes with popcorn balls, and he would say, you know, if you have popcorn balls, you should probably call a doctor. and Christine is always very gracious and just so informative. She was there were people posting on her page about tasting parties that she had done, and they're still posting. People are still posting. And so I posted a quick note on her page, and I wrote, "Hey, think about you all the time, and I feel sorry for people who never got to know you. I still tell stories about how kind and funny you were. Griffin and I still eat dessert first sometimes and toast you because life is too short. And I wish I had known that our last time at the Daily was the last time we hang out at the Daily was going to be our last time. But I wouldn't change a thing. Not the conversation, the laughs, or the way too sweet cocktail. The Key Lime Martini wasn't my favorite, but it was yours. And miss you always. Thank you for everything." And that was just a little note that I left on there. And I know it sounds corny to people who are like, oh, why do people still leave Facebook pages up for people who are gone? And there's, you know, there's some place for me to, you know, I think these things. And it's not, and people started liking that post. And it's been 7 years, and, you know, it's the holidays, and it would have been lovely to have toasted a new year with her. So she's somebody who I feel sorry for you if you never met her. She was bigger than life, and I feel so honored to have been one of her friends. So that was my something good. Hey, Matt Bubala.
Hello,
did you ever meet
Patty.
Christina?
I think I did in passing a few different times. Yeah.
She was so funny.
You know, I think that's really neat that people leave up those pages, because who could complain about that? Who does that harm? You don't have to go to it.
And what a nice thing for her family, her parents, or her loved ones
and to
see people still writing things 7 years later, because you're still thinking about her,
right?
And you think that everybody else has forgotten. So I think that's really neat.
It always freaks me out, though, when you know, because Facebook tells you whose birthday it is today.
Yes.
You know, and when you see, it's this friend of mine who died. Yeah. And, you know, we all have friends who are no longer with us, like you're talking about. And I say, it's Rod's birthday. And I'm like, man, I miss Rod.
Yeah, but it's also, it's kind of a nice thing to take that moment and reflect on it too. And I actually tell a story. I change it sometimes because in the middle of a stand-up comedy set or in a theater, I don't necessarily, like just now, I almost am hesitant to bring people down, but it really is about celebrating the wine diva. When she passed away, Griffin was 7 years old, and he adored her, knew that she was one of my close friends, knew that she was somebody who I was devastated by the loss. And so we were talking about when somebody passes away, and I told him, we're always going to share stories about her, and that's how we will keep her alive for us, and we will honor her that way. And this is a true story, and I actually had someone yell at me in the middle of a show. She was like, "He didn't say that." I assure you, I can't write this well. Griffin was struggling with it, and he goes, "Mommy, you know what I think? I think life is like a boat with no oars, and sometimes you got to ride that storm out and see where you turn up." He was seven. And I was like, I don't know why I'm talking. Like, I'm only going to make life worse for you, sweetie. You better go. You better go and take care of yourself. Because no, he takes care of me sometimes, and that's a great thing about being a parent. You don't realize those sort of like moments where you go, oh, I see how amazing this is.
Yeah. Especially as they get older and they start saying some.
Oh yeah.
Things
he held my hand again tonight when we were watching a movie. Like, he's 14 and he's not too cool yet to hang out with mom watching movies. And I jumped and he'll grab my hand and hold my hand or snuggle into me. That's my baby. Yeah. Anyway. And of course, he was listening to my podcast. We had Dr. Dingman on last night, who told Kassara that he believed she was a reincarnated soul of an alien. And I said, sometimes, I'm like, I hadn't even thought of like that possibility, because there's so many galaxies and it's such a big universe and other universes. And I thought, I've often wondered if my son, maybe that's it. Maybe that's that he's a reincarnated alien, and all this money they're spending. John Williams is obsessed with the government spending money on whether or not aliens are already here. Maybe they're here as reincarnated souls, and maybe my son's one of them. And Griffin goes, "Mommy, why did you say that Declan was a reincarnated alien?" I go, "Who says I meant Declan?" I was talking about you, sweetie. So anyway, those are my something goods. I've had
all over the place right there. That's a lot. That's a lot right there.
Welcome to my Friday. How are you doing, Matt Babala?
Good. How are you guys? Have a good holiday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
so. Well, that's enthusiastic.
Very nice.
It sounds like it was awesome.
And it was white. It didn't stink.
It feels long.
I'm thinking about that if I'm going to go see Patty's show on Sunday.
Yes, please.
The time your show starts, it's going to be 9 below 0.
Okay, could you not drive people away from my show?
No, I'm in shock.
It was really white. Well, good for you, I guess. That sounds kind of...
It was snowing.
But I got a context.
It was a white Christmas.
And it was really white.
It was really white. Because we didn't invite Patty's family over to the festivities.
we stepped down the lane to church, and it was awesome.
That was snow.
Oh yes, that's right.
That was really special, man.
This is Chicago's very own. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. There's a lot of pressure here because Mike's not to drive. Like, Mike Heideman is often the voice of like, "Please stop the show. Please throw
you've
the news."
Gotten, you've it's turned over a leaf. The last couple of weeks, you just cut it off and you go.
Yeah, that's gone.
Well, Mike is very concerned about the reputation of this show. Not yours, mine. Your show, neither here nor there, my friend. So he's very concerned about how we appear.
You're
going to
have a bad reputation for talking. Oh, okay.
That's
all
right.
Are we in trouble? Do I not know something?
I was not on the call. And we were not called
up. Was there a call?
No, we were not. But it was there's a general like station call that we get.
There is?
Yes. They should probably let everybody else know about that.
Well, I had to check that station email. I
know. That's been a thing, too. Okay. For 3 years, I was not getting emails from WGN Radio, including like my benefits notifications. That's
oh, really?
Yeah. True story. It was good times. So I'm fine now.
That's good.
Were they going to your spam, or you just weren't on the list?
There were six emails attached to my name. P.A. Vasquez, P.T. Vasquez, P. Vasquez, P.A.T.T.I.E. Vasquez, P.A.T.T.Y. Vasquez. Seriously, there were six emails attached to me.
Why?
Exactly. And you know what? Okay, I should not talk behind the curtain.
What's great is how you wanted us not to get in trouble with management. Now you're going to get in trouble with management. Hey,
you know,
I have
an idea. Why don't you call? Oh, never mind.
Can I just say that somebody who was in charge of my email said, I can see where your confusion started. I'm like, I'm not confused. This makes no... How could... Okay.
Michael Heidemann just called up to the newsroom.
Matt Bubala, what
from
is,
Las Vegas.
What is coming up on your show, sir?
We made everybody... We're going to do our top 10 lists of 2017, because now's the time of year where there's nothing but top 10.
So if I said my top 10 are the top 10 movies, the top... Okay, I don't want
to... No, we're talking about all the other lists people put out. We didn't have to make our own.
Okay.
But just you see them in the news.
Wait, you told me to make one.
Yeah, I heard you tell him to make one.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you did.
You said, make sure you come back next week with your top 10
I heard the assignment.
Yeah. Yes, with your top 10.
10 lists.
Top 10 lists.
Yeah,
meaning
right.
You had to go find top 10 lists that are out there.
Oh, you didn't make that
now
clear.
You tell him.
Oh, it's the teacher's fault.
Roger, you were assigned. You had an assignment, but it was
and
your top.
Screwed it all. It
was, bring your top 10 list.
Your top 10 of the top 10 lists that are out there.
I found going to make you make 10 different top 10
I found
lists.
A great top 10 list today.
What'd you find?
Phones. Mobile phones. I read it. All 10 phones. It was really a cool list.
I didn't even get to this, which I think was a big news story in the last week, which is that Apple was throttling phones so that people had to... How is that not... That's not illegal, by the way. That's just something you can just do to people.
Well, yeah, but normally you don't get discovered. They were found out, and they now are giving $50 off on new batteries.
But that's nice.
Personally, I think it ticked me off. It felt a little bit like the soda tax.
It's like, I felt violated
in the same way.
Yes.
Well, because I'm one of those people whose battery is getting less and less. It was 8.5 to 9 hours originally. Now it's down to 3.
But Ken, they're so, you know, the government gets involved and they're regulating everything. So really, what are they going to do to prevent something like that? Well, maybe have some laws against it. I'm sorry. Hey, Matt, what's coming up on your show?
Can I just say one thing? Because
I don't even have an Apple phone.
Throttling back. Ladies and gentlemen, my new iPhone 8. It's 12 hours old. I just got it today because the battery was dying and the calls were dropping.
Did you know?
Now I know it's a conspiracy.
Did you know?
And it was. And look, it's like light bulbs. Right. They can make light bulbs the last 20 years, but they don't because the light bulb industry would go broke.
I just bought my new Philip Hughes, by the way. Go ahead.
The LED light bulbs will last.
What was Apple's? I didn't read enough of the story. So was Apple's defense that
they were
throttling it because the battery gets old and it uses up energy so fast?
No, they didn't admit to throttling it.
No.
It was a
feature, not a bug.
unintended consequence of new updates on older phones. It wore on a lot of it.
It wore on
the batteries more than they anticipated.
No, they're not
going to admit that they did it intentionally.
I thought they did kind of admit they did it intentionally
to make people upgrade. They were forcing people into upgrades,
which is why they now.
I don't think they're admitting that.
I
have a brand new iPhone. That.
Okay, that was a lot of voices.
But they're giving $50 off.
When he calls the third time, let us know, Rich.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, tell him we don't want to hear from him until 2:10.
We have 30 seconds.
So no, this was not a good event, and not a good event for Apple.
No.
Yes.
Matt, do you have a show
coming up? Prides itself on transparency.
No, I'm just doing crosstalk.
But I heard a promo. Yes. That was a promo for you.
We were very excited about your promo.
I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and actually do those things.
And I fall behind on those sometimes, too. Duffy is an amazing production guy upstairs.
Yeah, I'm terrible about doing them. So I'm going to try to be good. 2018! And we'll do some resolutions for the New Year.
Because
it's the time of year to do that crap.
What's your number one resolution?
God, it's always get organized or get healthy.
Hmm.
Both would be good.
For more than a week and a half.
Michael Heidemann on one.
On line one.
Here's the disorganization. This next week, when I still have some time off, we'll be working on our 2015 taxes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. You're making progress. You're only a couple years behind. Okay.
What?
No, I'm dead serious.
I believe you.
He's doing his 2015. He's going to pay a year late.
I need a cookie to sort of.
Well, we always get a refund, so we can get away with that nonsense. But that's so bad.
That's okay. Yeah, I was once 4 years behind, so I know where you're coming from. I know exactly where you're coming from.
Well, I've only been 3 at the book because last year I got 2014 done. So yeah. Do we want to end this thing, or what do we do?
Yes.
Okay. I told you. I got top 10 lists. I got resolutions. I got to do my taxes.
on the air. Well,
Roger, Roger made up some top 10 lists, so we'll see what he came up with.
He did not make them up. He put it in
he made up his own top 10 list.
He compiled
it. It's going to be like my best chip shot, the time I got the 710 split.
Can I just
say, Roger can't follow directions.
I was not comfortable with John Hansen making fun.
The instructions were not clear enough.
I was not comfortable with John Hansen making fun of our Roger Battish for his jib-jab cartoons and saying
He said that you were keeping Jib Jab single-handedly alive.
No, no, no. That's right. He said it was old men like Roger that specifically. Well, I was wrapping presents.
It's tough for John because John has like the grayest hair out there and he's like 10 years younger than us.
Stop everything. What Here's happened? My question. Did your mom bring the sausage?
Nope.
Oh. Okay.
That sounds really dirty.
You should have seen when she texted it to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Betty texted, "Did your mom bring the sausage?"
No, I said, "I hope your mom brings the sausage."
And the government
who's talking about mom.
The government who is monitoring your texts probably went, "Whoa,
oh, there's a red flag that went up when Patty said that."
What's going on?
Boy, your mom is cool.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that ruined your Christmas.
I
blame Tom Skilling.
Didn't ruin our Christmas at all.
Mike Heidemann on one.
Breaking stuff. Here with your news.
The 2:30 news is
here with your news. Here with your news is Roger Battish.